This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny,
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Here we go again.
I feel like we're in good spirits today.
We got a packed schedule.
We both woke up early for no real reason that we needed to. We're just ready to go.
When we say early, by the way, like we mean very early. Like I usually am a 7:30 a.m. riser. This morning was like 5:30.
Ooh, I was not quite that early, but normally I can sleep till like 8, but you know, I was just so excited to get on and record today. If you missed our episode yesterday, go back and listen to it. We talked all things New Jersey and had the lovely Jackie Goldschneider on, who talked a lot about her issues with Teresa and everything that's going on this season. Definitely don't want to miss that. And also just a little plug, we have the Mention It All newsletter launching next week. Very exciting. You can subscribe now at betches.co/Bravo newsletter. It's going to be once a week recaps, Bravo tea that we're spilling. We're going to be recommending old seasons and shows to go back and binge. It's going to be a lot of fun. You should definitely check it out. Let's just dive right into this episode of Summer House.
Dive right in. Yeah.
Dive right into the pub crawl. The mess of it all.
I need to start off with why they called it a pub crawl and not a bar crawl. Was there a specific, like, it didn't make
I've
sense
heard both.
To me.
I mean, I think those terms are interchangeable to me.
Me too, but for their party specifically, like, it was like a part, it was like bar. There was no pub involved, you know?
They should have called it like a club crawl.
Yes. Ooh,
she coined a term.
Yeah, I love that. The detail that went into each of these themed rooms was impressive.
That was like a fun thing to do, especially like I guess it would be kind of random to do it if you weren't like stuck in a house, like quarantined in a house, but for the situation that they're in this season, that was like a really fun activity, and it felt like a theme party that wasn't just like let's all wear costumes.
Do you think they got like each one of them got a certain amount to spend from Bravo for their decor?
Yeah, like they each had a per diem that they could spend on the like an allotment.
Yeah.
Like you get $100 on Amazon, go crazy.
Right. So
Sierra didn't use any of hers, by the way.
Well, I know, but hers was a really good one. No, she should have used her per diem for a cleaning service. I'm sorry, not a cleaning service, an organizational service.
She needs they have the Netflix show, the home edit. She needs the home edit.
I'm sorry. She's just so hot that like it doesn't even matter. Totally. I don't get it. Like whatever. But we have our yearly girls and guys night because like us all, we need a break from each other. So the guys are raging lunatics playing beer pong, and you don't realize that there's only three of them compared to like there's like six girls in the house having a spa night.
I didn't think about that to begin with. And then now that Stravi is gone, there are only three guys in the house. And it really...
they are outnumbered.
This episode, it becomes... I mean, obviously they have their separate night. But then even after that, it becomes super apparent because you have Carl and Kyle that are clearly like a duo. And then Luke on the outs. So it really does... It becomes clear this season kind of how skewed the dynamics are in the house. And this girls' night to me is super awkward. You've got Hannah starting off with her like soothing voice that is not soothing to me, I'll just say. And then they're wearing these like hilarious looking like animal masks.
Meanwhile, and the bridesmaids' robes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're just like shit talking Luke, and so it starts off, they're going around the circle and saying if there was only like one person left on Earth and they had to procreate with, who would they choose in the house? And you know, the popular choices are Carl and Kyle, and then Lindsay says that she would choose Luke, and she's saying how, you know, Luke has all these good qualities. And I thought it was, obviously this was sort of a trigger because the other women in the house have already been talking about this.
Right.
It's, the thing is, like, it's not even a rumor. It's literally like this note from the psychic. Like, they don't have any actual evidence. And so they're kind of taking this as like, oh, Lindsay's talking all these, this good stuff about Luke. This is like more proof that they hooked up, which it, I just did not take it that way.
Right. When the viewers are looking at Luke's a hot guy, like, in Lindsay and like, him would make cute babies.
There's only three choices. Lindsay has way more history with the other two than she does with Luke. Like, it's not that weird of a choice.
Right. It was okay. But I have to say, when I said recently Paige is having a great season, but like, she really is. Like, her and Amanda going up to Luke and asking, just straight up asking.
Yeah.
If he and Lindsay had sex, Luke, I'm telling you, I don't know where I stand with this. I do not know if they did or not. I cannot tell if they did. They are both extremely good actors. If they didn't, I feel bad because everyone's still talking about it. But like, Luke was like pretty surprised by the question.
I agree. I don't feel like I know the answer 100%, but I feel strongly that I don't like the way that the other women in the house are going about it. And I think they're acting super shady about it. And the thing is, like, I understand if it was like fun shade and like they're having fun with the drama, but it feels like they've taken this DM from the psychic and all of a sudden it's like, this is grounds to, you know, execute Luke and Lindsay if it happened. And it's like, okay, first of all, you don't actually have like physical evidence of it happening. So mm-hmm. you stop acting like you do. And also, if they did have sex or whatever, to me, it's truly not that big of a deal. Like, obviously, everybody in this house has had their, you know, baggage and their past experiences with each other. But like, when Lindsay hooked up with Carl last season, it wasn't like Paige and Danielle tried to like excommunicate her from the house. So it's like, to me, it's just not that big of a deal. And I hate that it's being kind of used as the like inciting incident for this massive chaos in the house.
Well, here's the thing. Paige even said last night that they are in quarantine, so they're kind of going a little stir crazy. So that's part of the reason why like they're kind of doing it. The only part of it that I don't agree with is the fact that they didn't ask Lindsay. They went like straight to Luke. Like, that's not girl code. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, ask Lindsay. But them themselves probably knew the reaction they were going to get, which is exactly what Lindsay gave them a few minutes later. So yeah, they knew she was going to flip out.
So Lindsay flips out. But I want to talk about the guys, because earlier at guys' night, and then obviously later in the episode, Carl and Kyle suddenly have this kind of issue with Luke where they feel like he's not been honest about his intentions in the house, and you know that he needs to own up to the fact that he like thought he was going to get with Sierra and it didn't work and blah 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 blah. And I understand like wanting someone to be honest and, you know, wanting someone to like just be straight up, but I don't quite understand how we got to the point where Kyle and Carl are so upset with Luke.
It's called a lot of cases of lover boy.
I'm not a Luke cheerleader by any means, but I definitely mm-hmm. feel like there's kind of this weird sentiment that the house has gotten swept up in, that Luke is like the agent of chaos. And I just don't really see it like that. I think he's kind of a fuckboy. I think his situation with Sierra definitely didn't go the way he wanted it to. And I do think he should have done a better job of respecting her boundaries that she was trying to set when she brought up him texting her at night. I think when he says, why isn't it okay for me to text you at night? The answer to that is because she said she doesn't want you to.
Correct.
But right. I don't quite get, I feel like all of the cast, it almost reminds me of on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the way in the last couple seasons they've sort of chosen someone to gang up on a little bit. Like, it happened with it happened with Denise, and the season before it sort of happened with Lisa Vanderpump. I feel like it almost feels like there's been this kind of decision within the house that rather than sort of sit together and work through these problems, we're going to make Luke like the bad one.
Absolutely. I said this last week. I was like, exactly like you. I'm not like, oh my God, I love Luke. I'm obsessed. But I was like, they're being mean. Like, they're actually like excluding him. They're being mean. Yeah. And like, I do kind of feel bad because like he is like just trying to be their friend. The whole thing with texting Sierra, like, I get it. She asked. That's it. But in his defense, he was like, it came out of the blue. Like, we've texted past 9 p.m. and he said he understands, like, whatever. And it is a respect thing. Mm-hmm. But I think his reaction when he like giggled a little kind of made her a little bit more upset. Yeah. But he was like, we're friends. So I'm sorry. I wasn't like sexting you. I was kind of just seeing like, I was just being polite, but I think that whole thing was just a miscommunication. But yeah, like I'm still like, I don't find anything wrong with Luke. I think because the biggest thing is he's not an asshole. It would be one thing if he had like, if his actions are a little bit different, but his personality, he doesn't seem like a rude, nasty guy. So it's hard to be like, I hate Luke. Cause like, he seems really nice.
Yeah. And since
those are his intentions,
like since the first two or three weeks of this season, when he was kind of having more drama with Sierra and Hannah, he's pretty much kept to himself. Like, I mean, he's definitely,
the guy just wants to chop wood.
He just like, like you're saying, I think the Sierra texting thing, I think Sierra has more of a reason to be frustrated, upset with him, whatever. But it's funny because I feel like all of us watching the show are like, the sentiment I see on social media so much is like, you know, Hannah's manipulating the house, like it's hard to watch, she's like kind of going crazy maybe. But it's like, I think that it's weird that all of a sudden it feels like Hannah has gotten the entire house on her side with this sort of like anti-Luke agenda. And a few weeks ago, or I mean literally like 1 week ago, Kyle and Hannah were like arch nemeses, and now they basically are fighting for the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. First of all, we got to give more credit to this pub crawl where they each decorated their room to their own home state and they went all themed out. Everyone, Lindsay was Florida, Carl was Pennsylvania, but he went Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is not where he's from. Sierra was Atlanta, Luke was Minnesota, and Paige and, oh my God, Danielle was the Hamptons, which is beautiful. And Paige and Hannah were
New York,
and Kyle and Amanda were California. Did I get everyone? I think so. And like, they did such a good job, themed drinks. Like, it was so thought out. And like, I thought, again, I was like, oh my God, are they going to be mean to Luke's? But Luke had like a photo wall. Like, his was so adorable, and like an outhouse. I don't know. Who did you think did the best? Whose room do you think was the best?
I really liked, I thought everyone did a pretty good job. I actually did like Luke's a lot. I thought that his dedication to the theme was really nice. I thought Carl's was maybe the most inventive. So I'll give creativity points to him. The water shots, he had buckets. Like, I don't know. I liked that he was like, the flat screen TV is not mine.
and that his name was Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, yes. No, it was a fun theme party, of course.
Yeah.
But the fun couldn't last for too long. And we have in the kitchen, again, Carl and Kyle confronting Luke about not being honest. And Carl is like, you know, I want you to own up to the fact that, you know, you basically tried to get it in and it didn't work. And then Sierra comes back in and she's getting on Luke about this texting thing, which we've already talked about. And then all of a sudden, it's basically just a pile on. And
well, Luke does walk away. He goes downstairs.
Out the front door. And he's clearly talking to production, security, whatever. And they're like, to me, this felt like a thing where, you know, they have this like quarantine situation in place. And like, if he's acting like he's gonna leave the house, then they need to like try and get him to stay, because if he leaves, he might not be able to come back. Like, it's that sort of thing. And then he, you know, a switch flips and he's back in the front door and, you know, dumping a drink, yelling up the stairs at Kyle. And I mean, we get a big to be continued, which I definitely feel like they earned this episode. But
well, part of me, when he like left and came, like it was like, what were his intentions? Was he purposely, what was he like leaving to go get air? And then he was like, got more angry. And then production was like, what's going on? Like, they kind of, Carl was in his room and he heard the commotion and came out, and he's actually the one that went to go get physical, because I think he was just like defending Kyle.
Right.
But Kyle was so drunk. He was in no shape to like physically fight someone. He would have gotten his ass kicked.
Yeah. I think,
unfortunately,
it felt to me like he went outside to kind of walk it off a little bit. And then you never know, a producer might have honestly been egging him on. Like, you don't know kind of what happens in these situations, but you know, I definitely don't want anyone to leave the house, especially after Stravi left. I hope everyone stays for the full season. But
we also can't have another guy leave. That would really be two guys. But I also have to say that
we do know Des is coming at some point.
Oh, shoot. No, I can't imagine Luke leaving. Oh, my God. That would be kind of crazy, though.
Well, also he's on Winterhouse, so they wouldn't be.
That's very true.
They wouldn't be like, he wouldn't be like storming off the show and like then be in a house with Kyle again 6 months later.
Also, they're guys, and guys handle things way different than girls. Like, they're clearly like good already. We'll and see. I do have to say that last night, Paige said that she said that Luke is very genuine and they're good. Like, Paige is the one that hated Luke the most, like out of everyone, like including last season. So I'm glad that like more people are like starting to like give Luke a chance.
I have a feeling that Paige, I think a lot of Paige's issues with Luke were from his situation with Hannah, and that she was being a loyal friend to Hannah. And I totally respect that. But I think now that that situation is really in the rearview mirror, and maybe we have a little more clarity on what was really going on, maybe, you know, it feels like Luke wasn't as much of like a villain in that situation as we were initially like led to believe, that maybe for Paige, it's kind of easy to be like, okay, let's just start fresh. Like, Hannah's engaged. Like, she's not, you know, thinking about Luke anymore. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, they're on Winterhouse together too. So I hope that, yeah, like it would be nice for the group to kind of start fresh. And I don't feel like Luke is the kind of person, whether you like him or not, I don't think he's the kind of person who needs to be like voted out of the house or anything. Like, it's not that deep. And I hope that they don't continue to like alienate him like that, because I don't think he actually deserves it.
Yeah, no. So
imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Let's talk about Real Houses of Dallas, which I feel like was ages ago, but then I realizing Below Deck was even further.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my notes. Like, where? this episode of Dallas was interesting. We have a lot of Tiffany, a lot of Carrie, a lot of Deandra. So
cast.
I mean, I guess the cast is in this episode. We actually do have a little bit of Stephanie this episode because her locker makeover is done. I think it's interesting that they're taking a private jet to go see this like locker room situation, yes. But it looks nice.
And I'm very proud of Stephanie. Like, we saw her do this from the beginning and now we've seen it fully executed, and she did a absolutely beautiful job. I'm scared for a football team to not keep it the way that it looks right now, but you know what? She's proud. She wanted Travis to be proud of her, and I think he is. They gave themselves a little Shield kiss, which was so cute. We love to see Shield.
I will say one thing I didn't love to see, that men's locker room is about 4 times the size of the women's locker room, which in light of what happened at the Women's March Madness tournament last week, I was like, I noticed that, but whatever. I mean, it looks nice. I'm glad she feels fulfilled doing her charitable work. Yeah.
And like, what's next?
And I guess that's her storyline for the season wrapped up. Okay. Let's talk about Tiffany or Carrie and Deandra go over to Tiffany's house. And they're kind of talking about what happened with Mama D in the last episode. And Deandra's sort of clearing the air about her name change. And the way that she says that it happened was that she changed her name to honor her stepfather because he was the one that was kind of there for her and supporting her, and that it was a way kind of as a tribute, and that she kept her maiden name or her original last name as her middle name. So she's still, she's Deandra Calloway Simmons, which whatever, I don't, obviously none of us were there to know the difference, but that she did not do it to be opportunistic. And it's interesting because Carrie and Tiffany have a very different read on Deandra's relationship with her mom than I think she does, because they see it as your mom is so involved in your life. She cares. She wants to be there. She wants to be invested in your life. Whereas they don't feel like they necessarily have that with their mothers. And I understand why from their outside perspective, it looks that way. But having heard Deandra talk about her relationship with her mom, just because a parent is involved in your life doesn't mean that they're involved in a supportive, caring, you know, nurturing way. And I heard Deandra talk last week. She did a Clubhouse Q&A that was really great. And she was talking about how she craves that sort of affection from her mom, and that she's never really gotten that. And that at this point, you know, her mom is 80 years old. She has to just accept that she's never going to get that from her. And that's been a really hard thing to come to terms with. So I think I understand where Carrie and Tiffany are coming from, but also just because Dee is in her life doesn't mean that she's getting that kind of loving support from her.
Yeah. It's very clear that she's not either. Like, they can't possibly look from the outside and think that that's the kind of relationship they want with their moms. Like, it doesn't look healthy, but I just can't get over the fact that Dee is 80. I'm sorry. If you look at her, she looks like she's late 60s, like maybe 70. She looks so effing good that maybe we should invest in
morning.
Hard night good. I like used every adjective.
The green miracle, if you will. they have that new soft package, the brand new logo, the updated branding.
I can't. But you know what though? We also see Deandra and Mama D makeup. And can I just say, Deandra has never looked better than this Absolutely. Season. She looks so good. Her outfits, her glam, everything. I feel like she feels confident. Like, she just looks amazing. But she is at her mother's house, which, like, you can even feel her in there, not comfortable.
Yeah.
She's more comfortable in her own skin than in her mom's house. Like, that makes sense. But
right, but it's not a safe space for her.
Yeah. And you know what? I kind of really appreciated the conversation because Deandra knew she was just going to get that exact reaction, that exact apology, and she accepted it and moved on. She wasn't going to get what she wanted out of that, which is...
Deandra certainly looks amazing this season, but I'm also just enjoying her energy this season. I feel like she is in a much lighter, healthier place with herself. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of that actually has to do with Leanne not being on the show, because Deandra's relationship with Leanne was always so intense, and it just kind of like sucked the air out of the room. I feel like so much of Deandra's energy on the show was devoted to fighting with Leanne, or, you know, trying to rehash all these things with Leanne. And now that Leanne is gone, I feel like Deandra just kind of has room to breathe and just kind of be herself. And I guess also there's less kind of stress going on with her business, and that kind of stuff is behind her a little bit. So I have loved seeing her just kind of have a little more fun this season and be a little more relaxed.
The name Leanne just like triggered me really quick.
Right. It
like,
feels
like I got like chills.
It feels like that was like 5 years ago, but
oh God.
Okay. But speaking of Deandra being relaxed, let's talk about the shaman, which is still a hot topic. So basically, we have this, like, Brandy is just not willing to let this go. And she says that this, or so her new argument is that this like astral projection thing that Darren was doing, which she calls astral gliding, was, you know, kind of going into this bad place of spirits because the devils can be anywhere and all of this stuff. And Deandra calls her out for being a cafeteria Christian and, you know, choosing the green jello and not the blue jello. And I
was like, I'm going to take a backseat in this during this, because I was like, what? I don't even know what they're talking about.
The thing is, I don't think they know what they're talking about. I think both of them are Christians. Obviously they both feel, you know, strong about their religion. And it's so ridiculous that this is a thing that we're now going to be talking about for multiple episodes, because the whole thing with Christianity, do you know how many different, sects and denominations and types of Christianity there are? Like, the idea, if Brandy was uncomfortable in that situation, good for her. Don't do it again. You know, feel free to express your own feelings. But the way that this is just continually being brought up as something that Deandra was doing wrong, it's like, everybody has their own, you know, spiritual relationship. Everybody can try their own things. And especially considering that Brandy has brought on, you know, a psychic and a ghost and a Ouija board and all this stuff to the show, it's like, why is this the hill that you're now really trying to go after?
Yeah, well, you know, these are the types of things where it's so now clear, because she is exiting, that she's just trying to like hold on and gasp for like air almost to continue being on the show. And I think she made the right decision, where like it's almost to the point where it's like, I'm tired of like talking, like she's not doing anything for me.
It's really interesting. I don't mean to be too cynical about this, but her sort of like rebrand as a like Christian woman, because if you go on her Instagram now, like she's posting stories every day that are like Bible verses and quotes and stuff. And I think that's great for her if that's, you know, the place that she's in and that's what's important to her. But it feels really awkward the way she's kind of trying to make that a storyline on the show, because it's not she's not making it about her own journey. She's making it a way to attack Deandra for something that just doesn't feel like worth getting into. And this luau party is beautiful, by the way. It's at Tiffany Moon's husband's hotel in Dallas, which
her Lux luau.
Who knew that that Mr. Moon owned hotels? Good to know.
And Tiffany didn't want any guests on the floor that she was getting ready on. I was like, yes, girl. But
this little yard area at the hotel just looks beautiful. We get to hear from Jen for the second time this season about her gobbler vagina, which I don't know what she did to piss off the editors of this show, but the fact that they have reduced her role so drastically, but somehow managed to leave in two different clips of her talking about her, lady parts, is just, it's rude, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, I think she brings a little bit more than that from what I can see. So I'm like, okay. But I loved when they went to each of the women individually about Tiffany's party. And they're like, this is the best. She's really grown. She's learned how to throw a party. There are no rules. The food is great. Like, they're like, really, like, Tiffany went all in. And yeah, she was like living. And then I'm dying when Carrie... I had a friend like this too, where you just like, they don't know when to stop. And like, Carrie's like chasing her with like a fire pole. And oh, Tiffany, dead serious, was like, sat on a lounge chair and was like, home base. And she was like, my 5-year-old children do this. She's like, but the thing with Carrie is like, I don't know if she was, she gonna light me on fire. Like, I don't know.
Oh, Carrie.
She very well could have. But
Carrie.
I feel like Tiffany just is completely over her little hump. Like, she is good. She is here to stay. And I think, we have nothing to worry about.
I feel really bad for the stuff she's had to deal with Brandy specifically. But kind of, I mean, I feel like she did get hazed a little bit by the group. They gave her a lot of shit for this, for the pizza party she threw before. But it is great to see her feeling more comfortable, it seems, within the group. And it feels like... everybody is kind of like down for her to succeed at this point. And I hope that continues. And I hope that, you know, the positive vibes continue happening, because it has been sort of a rough, it's been a rough time watching her kind of be, you know, put through the paces by this group. I didn't love Cameron's comment about being able to train her to throw a good party. It's like,
yeah, like, I think
she's not like, you know, Aladdin, the street rat that you found and like taught to live in the palace. Like, she just was like, had a few too many rules at her last party. Like,
yes, I think that was just such a typical Cameron statement, where she was like, anybody can be trained. And we're like, Cameron,
you know what?
Need to like let, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. You need to let loose a little bit.
You know what? I bet Tiffany Moon knows how to pay an electric bill. So maybe maybe Cameron could get trained next.
Yes, but we also have to say though, Tiffany, speaking of Tiffany, that her mom, she was so hesitant about telling her mom that she stepped back, and her mom was so happy and then that told her eventually to take a second day off. And Tiffany was like, I'm sorry. That was
such a surprising, lovely moment. What? And especially, you know, that was just a few minutes in the episode after Tiffany had been talking to Deandra and Carrie about not feeling that love and support from her mom, and sort of feeling like she was more, she said she felt more like, what did she say? She said she felt more like an investment than a daughter.
Right.
And so it was nice to see, kind of, you know, we had seen Tiffany be so vulnerable, and then her mom kind of surprise her and give her that love and support that she sort of has been craving.
Yeah, because I think Tiffany is actually putting that pressure on herself. Instead of getting it from her parents, because she thinks that's what her parents want. But in reality, her parents just want her to be successful, but happy also.
Well, I think it's important to note that, you know, people can change. Like, when Tiffany was 19, I'm sure she was getting that pressure from her parents. And maybe, you know, maybe if she had said a year into her career that she wanted to take time off, they wouldn't have been supportive of that. But, you know, she's in a place where she has 2 young kids. She clearly has other, you know, businesses that she's working on. Obviously, Housewives is a job, but she also has, you know, candles, and she has like a product line that she's been working on, and you see her doing a lot of different stuff on social media. So it's like, she is not the kind of person who's taking time off just because she wants to, you know, sit around and not do anything. But yeah, I liked this episode. I thought there was a lot of different stuff going on. It's interesting to see, we must be getting close to the end of their season, I don't know. I guess they haven't filmed their reunion yet, so we have a few more weeks.
Yeah, but Atlanta filmed their reunion yesterday.
Did you see Marlo's post on Wednesday afternoon?
No.
She deleted it, but she posted she posted this text post. Let me see if I have a screenshot. I posted it on story, but then it went away when she deleted it. She posted a text post that was like, does anyone in New York know where I can get a sexy black dress? And
I did see that.
It was like, Marlo, are you okay?
And also, Marlo, you can get a sexy black dress in New York anywhere. Right, literally.
Like, I know that it's last minute, but like, stores are open. been. Like, you could go to a store. But yeah, that was so funny. But I cannot wait to see that reunion. We know that in addition to the five housewives, LaToya, Marlo, and Shamia were all there. So it's going to be a full couch, or likely full chairs separated by 6 feet.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Okay, let's quickly talk about Below Deck Sailing. Some quick little thoughts. My main thought being that Gary is a fucking idiot.
I'm like peeing, like looking at our outline and like Dylan's first bullet under Below Deck. Gary is an idiot. I was like, oh, I will let you lead on that.
The thing, okay. So we talked about in the past, Gary and Sydney hooked up their first, you know, quote unquote night out. And, you know, clearly there was some awkwardness after that. It seemed like Sydney was, you know, kind of into Gary, and Gary was like, this isn't a situation that I want to, you know, keep right. getting into. And so then their next quote unquote night out, they're playing truth or dare. They're having a good time. Allie and Gary are, you know, kind of getting cozy with each other. They're hanging out. Sydney kind of interrupts them. Gary's like, oh, fuck, what did I get myself into? And then all of a sudden, Sydney and Gary are hanging out, and we see Gary basically turn her down. She's like trying to kiss him. He is like, no, no, no. Like, we can't. I don't know. And then, all of a sudden, it's 8 a.m. the next morning and they're in bed together.
Yeah.
I'm like, Gary.
Okay. I'm sorry though, but Dylan, you also have to add in, I'm not calling Sydney an idiot, but you have to add her in there also. Well, like,
yes.
Come on.
There are a lot of dumb decisions being made, but Gary, I feel like, was. Because Sydney was coming on to him, he was in the position where if he said no, it wasn't going to happen. And,
right,
you know,
he was thinking with his lower part, yes, not his.
Yes, yes, yes. And then the brain. Conversation that they have the next day, basically, he knows that he's fucked. He's like, God damn it. Like, why did I do this? Basically. And he basically says they're not going to be a thing, that he is not trying to do this, whatever. And when Sydney says, oh yeah, like I won't ruin your life, I was like, oh she's gonna ruin your life.
Oh, she's gonna ruin your life. I just have a feeling that we are not done with them. Like, there's gonna be more. They're still on the boat. Like, it's bound to happen. I know. Okay, so here we go. We're on to the next charter, because the charter guests, I don't know what the hell happened with them. Their tests came back negative, but we're moving on already from
them. I think
them.
Because
like, they are never to be seen again.
They said that the one guest was still showing symptoms, so I don't think they would have brought him back on the boat.
Right. So this new family's coming. They're all freaking out because there's 9 of them. And I'm like, why are you guys panicking? Like, that could happen. There's 9 people. Like, it doesn't seem that crazy. But they come on and they are this fancy schmancy family. They said that they are the first same-sex couple in the UK to use a surrogate. And I was like, oh, that's very nice. Like, love it. And so they were on the boat and Daisy, she's like, let's Google them, which I didn't know. I was actually, I guess once we find out that they can show that, but I was like, I wonder if they Google all of their guests, but they showed it on camera. Yeah. So then they all are like gasping and I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? Guys, this is a love triangle that I don't think Bravo has ever like come across before. So it is a gay couple.
Yes.
Males. And they are both there with their current boyfriends.
Yes.
And they're okay. So,
and they're
Barry,
five kids,
spelled B-A-R-R-I-E, by the way, is his boyfriend, his current boyfriend is his daughter Saffron's ex-boyfriend whom they used her eggs to have children with. So technically Barry's child is also his grandchild.
To be honest, I can't unpack that right now. I can't, I don't have the mental capacity. I can't, I won't.
I didn't know about the eggs until my friend like Googled it too. Everyone Googled it. And she told me that part because I don't think that was on the show.
I think I was like in the kitchen when that part was playing and I heard it and I was like, should I rewind? And I was like, you know,
really should have.
But these guests are, you know, kind of the worst nightmare. They want all of their food plated at all times, which usually if you watch for lunch or for breakfast, they'll do kind of like a little serve yourself situation, like you've watched the show. But they also are super particular about their food. They have, you know, they want mashed potatoes five different ways. They all want their steak cooked differently. I feel like it's the kind of thing where nothing they're asking for is like not okay to ask for, but they just want all of it.
So, yeah. And here's the thing about Natasha, though, because she came to them and was like, all right, so we're going to do family style. And they were like, no, we're not going to do family style. Like, and so then she started panicking. But I agree with you, like breakfast or lunch. Yes, it's like more, you know, chill. Dinner, I absolutely agree. Like it shouldn't be family style. And she came to them ahead of time, asked what they wanted and had it all planned out. So like, I just feel like she's complaining just to complain about things.
Yes.
Like it was all there. That is her job.
I agree. And I think there's a fine line between being stressed because your job is stressful and being stressed because you're being put in a position you shouldn't be in. And I think this is the case of where it's like, yeah, this is a stressful charter, but like it's still within the like umbrella of what your job is supposed to be. And to be honest, the fact that they were getting their steaks like 20 minutes apart, that is unacceptable.
100%. I wrote that in my notes. I said, I cannot tell you. My dad bugs out about that too. I would too. That charter guest was 100% right. Your food should come out at the same time. There is no exception to that. They need to eat at the same time. So him, the way he handled that was absolutely correct. And
right.
You know what? I meant to say, she also was like, okay, we can do family style. And they said no. And she was like, okay, so I can make like Michelin star. Whoa. So it was family style or Michelin right, like, star. Like there was no in between.
Like I can go to Applebee's and get a plated meal. Like
Dylan, that is Michelin star.
Michelin star. Those fries, they don't quit. But a 2 for $20 at a Michelin star restaurant. Wow. But yeah, I think we've seen now a few times and we're only a few charters in. Natasha seems to be really capable in terms of like the food aspect, but really kind of has trouble with the pressure of the organization and the kind of logistics of her job. And I feel like this is kind of for somebody like that, who we've seen her like that in less stressful situations, this charter is kind of the worst nightmare because it's not a question of whether she can, you know, cook the steak properly, but this is like a tall order from a you know, being organized standpoint, and that's clearly not her strongest suit.
Also, if the interior and decks get mad when the tip is clearly going to be reflected off of the food situation,
true,
that's like on you. And it's one thing if like, yes, we've seen annoying charter guests in the past, and there's nothing you can do about it. But this, like, this is her. This is on her also. It's not just the guests being annoying. But you know what? They're on a charter and we're not. So I'll just say,
it looks like there's going to be some rough seas ahead.
Dun dun.
We're gonna let's pound it through the screen. Oh my god, everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. In the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. We love those great reviews. They are so helpful.
We love the five stars. We love the positive.
If you have been listening to this podcast and you're enjoying it, go leave a little review, or even just a rating is great. We really appreciate it. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. Subscribe to our new newsletter launching next week at betches.co/Bravo newsletter. And just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.